Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Welcome to it, the Wednesday edition of Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. TJ Henning, producing, engineering, contributing.
Halfway out the door.
Gosh darn it. I want to swear really bad here. So I said, gosh darn it, dadgummit. It is going to be a farewell party for TJ Henning today. A career opportunity for him. We love him like our own.
We do.
And he is one of our own. And we are excited for him. So TJ Henning will be pretty prevalent in today's show. And excited to reflect positively and warmly on the... on the pride of Norris.
Mm-hmm. Norris Titans.
You know. Okay. There, I got lost in my own
moving on.
Anger. I mean, happiness. TJ Henning is awesome. Congrats to him. And thanks for 2.5 years. But we will spend time with that. TJ will have some final thoughts at 5:50. We are loaded up today. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. Mike Shewhart. Shuey's going to be in. In about 40 minutes, Blair Kirkhoff has been rescheduled to Friday. A lot of Chiefs training camp stuff he's running down, some Royals baseball. So end of the week with Blair. That'll open things up for 40 minutes of football with Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. In hour two, about an hour from now, some words of wisdom, fond farewell, an au revoir from Klausburn to... one TJ Henning. And also next hour, we'll get caught up with Husker Hall of Famer now, quarterback, roommate of Jay Moore, Zach Taylor. Mm-hmm. Zach's going to join us from out in L.A. as camp's going on for the Rams. Bert, it's been a while. I saw on social media you had an amazing chip shot that went in. Mm-hmm. Did a little amateur golf. Mm-hmm. The Nebraska State Amateurs. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
No, you're just rocking it. Peddling Adidas, Mama Bear, the little guy's doing good. It's good to see you. And by the way, football has started, so you're excited.
No, I am. It's crazy. It's already August. It's August 2nd.
You blink and the summer's
gone,
right?
It's been crazy. I mean, my little man's going to be 8 months. It's just crazy. So, no, time's flying by. It's what happens when you're having fun and you're staying busy. Yeah. It's good to get back in here, shoot the ball with you guys for a little bit, talk a little football. It is. It's... I think we'll have a football game on Sunday, won't we? The Hall of Fame game will be this?
It is.
You know, I think we have the Cardinals versus, I don't know. I couldn't even tell you, actually. I know it's Cardinals because I saw on social media something about, so I don't know.
We will get on that.
We'll get on it.
Who are the Arizona Cardinals playing? The quarterback whisperer. Mm-hmm. Should get Lars' new book.
Okay.
And Brandon Vogel's new book, too. Mm-hmm. Summer reading.
I don't have time for that.
No, you don't. You're
got a kid to look after, work, and golf balls to hit.
Yes, you do.
You got to stay sharp. You got to stay plenty
okay,
sharp.
Okay, let's. We have so much to get into, and we spent a lot of time reflecting on you know the defensive day yesterday with Nebraska football practice. Plenty of thoughts on the offense tomorrow. They will speak. The offense also will continue to fine tune things, and we'll be able to watch practice tomorrow. So that is tomorrow. But, Jay, I want to get into and get your thoughts here. So far, so good. The storylines of Nebraska Fall Camp 2017. And there's a lot to get to. And I want to start with what really kind of impressed me yesterday. And that was Lamar Jackson. Talked with Babbers about it. I had thoughts on just how real he was. And I kind of go back to Monday with Coach McBride saying sometimes – those talented guys have snot in their nose. They need to get it knocked out of them. And I think that happened to Lamar verbally and just also his own pride level. He said as much to reporters yesterday. You heard a lot of that. Great write-up on HailVarsity.com on Lamar. The quote here from Derek Peterson's story is, "No more finessing." And I wanted to kind of get your reaction here to not just the kind of the reputation Nebraska has right now of going after pretty high profile, highly sought after recruits like Lamar Jackson. You remember signing day a couple of years ago when he got into the boat, and you're very realistic about what it is to be a high profile, high star athlete, and then that translating to success on the college football field. Doesn't happen all the time, and Lamar seems like pretty keen on not letting it slip away, this opportunity. Your reaction to Lamar, his comments, what you heard, what you read, and just what you think he can do this year for Nebraska. Let's start on the defensive side.
I think do a lot. I mean, he's got to step up. He's a guy that's, I know he's young, but can provide some sort of leadership if possible, but he needs to step up with Chris Jones being out the majority of the year. He needs to step up his game, and I know he's talked about it. He's taking a deep look at himself, kind of revamping himself. I've read a lot of his words to where it wasn't a whole lot of effort going into. He was just kind of making it, just getting through last year, which honestly, as a freshman, it happens because it's a lot. It is when you get overwhelmed with school and the football aspect and being a few thousand miles away from home, it's a lot. So he's getting more comfortable in his own skin, being more comfortable in understanding what his role is going to be. I think having a guy like Diaco come in and really heighten everyone's awareness to how the effort level needs to be, the execution, the focus. I think it's going to turn everyone's awareness up a notch, just because obviously we've played good at times, but there's obviously plenty of instances where it's nowhere near where it needs to be. I think Wisconsin was probably one of the best games all around,
offensive, defense, special teams,
that we've had with the Riley system in here. But it's to get to where we need to be. And that's winning the West every year, playing in Indianapolis every year, and trying to win one of those things and get to Pasadena every couple of years. It's got to be every day. It's got to be every practice, every game. That's the intensity level's got to go up. It's no more feeling sorry for yourself. It's no more woe is me. And I think everyone has. I always call that come to Jesus moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone has it, and fortunately for Lamar, it happened fairly early in his career, which it usually happens after your first year of playing. My first year of playing wasn't until my sophomore year, so my come to Jesus moment was my junior year.
Really?
So it took me for a little more time, but luckily now he's got three more years with the right mindset. I had two, So I think it takes a little. It's everyone has that moment. I think he got it early, and I think you'll see a much better play out of him, which you're going to need to be, even though the secondary is probably the strongest suit area of the defense, maybe even the team right now. But we got to definitely call on him to pick it up and kind of carry that load over from Chris Jones's departure.
Once a guy gets it attitude and effort wise, and it's going to be your peers that are beating up on you on the field, and then you have that persona and cockiness and kind of aura you come in with you're the best thing ever to walk into this school.
Yes, the sliced bread, yeah.
Because you're a high-profile recruit from, Calabrasca. And then you get knocked down to size, and you have to respond to it, and some guys don't. And that to me, is the risk-reward of going after the pure God-given talent that Nebraska's going after, either West Coast or in the South, or pick an area, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's areas that SC is recruiting. It's areas that Florida State's going after. It's areas the SEC's interested in. You're jumping into that pool.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of talked about that yesterday. What type of mental attitude, what type of maturity do you have in a guy, and what type of culture do you have in your football team to help guys through this? And I think a huge part of Lamar's growth was having a guy like Chris Jones around to call him on some stuff, to tell him this is how it's supposed to be, and then to encourage him once he makes that commitment to change himself. And that to me is as big as, Lamar's attitude himself changing. And this isn't just a single Lamar Jackson. You have a bunch of other guys on different teams across the country that face this same sort of crossroads in their career. Are you going to sit and pout, or are you going to respond and play hard? And it is a roll of the dice either way, just because of you've got this culture that's pumping up kids to such a high level that they think they can do no wrong. And once you do get criticized, and once the film doesn't lie, are you going to sit there and pout and check out or not? And that, to me, it's a huge story. I was pretty engrossed and enthralled with his comments yesterday.
Yeah, it's corner is anywhere in the secondary, especially corner. It's hard, man. You have to have a short memory. You could play, a mistake-free game and do your job and play well, but you get burnt one time for six. That's all people remember, and they think you're a horrible corner.
One play.
And and it could be the play that loses you the game. I mean, you could play lights out, but that's just how that mindset you have to have at corner, because you can't afford that, because you can you make one mistake and it's, the band's playing. And everyone is pissed at you. But you could play out of 65 snaps, you could play 64 perfect, do your job. You have six or seven PBUs. You have, you're tackling the guys. But you get up, you slip, you make the wrong step, you miss, have the wrong communication, and you let one guy get behind you in a man situation or whatever it may be, and he catches a touchdown, then people are thinking you're a horrible corner. A lot of people don't know football very well. They don't know, that was cover two. Man, he did his job there. He did well. That was cover four. Man, he did his job there well. That was zero coverage. Man, he did a hell of a job there. They're just going to remember seeing, he caught a ball on him. He's a terrible corner. That's what's hard about that position.
And how forgiving are defensive teammates?
Pretty forgiving. I mean, you got to understand, like, a lot of times in football, sometimes, let's say, like, when, like, last year, Nebraska's in a lot of cover four. You have no help as a corner, you have no help behind you. So you're going to give up a little 2, 3, 4, 5 yard out routes because you know what? You strap up and you play
it's
again.
Not 40 yards.
Correct. You keep them inside. They might move the ball on you inside the 20s, but once it gets to the red zone, you tighten up, and sometimes holding the team to field goals is a win. But people don't understand that. They're thinking, he had another pass completed on him. What a bum. What's he doing? Like, get up on tight. Well, no, he's playing within the defense. It's an 11-man. It's not just him. It's everyone's kind of working on the same thing. But it's a tough position because you're always – that's as in the game, and when the ball is thrown – that's immediately going to you. As a D lineman, when the ball's thrown, the camera's immediately off of you. So as a linebacker, same situation. So that the focus is always on that corner. And sometimes it's good, sometimes bad. You have to be able to roll with the punches. And having that mentality and stepping up and looking at yourself and saying, you know what, I didn't do everything that I was that needed to be done.
There was legit regret in his voice.
No, good on him. That's great. And that's not easy for a young kid, especially a highly touted four-star recruit. That's not easy. That's not easy for anyone to do, is to look at yourself and say, I need to be better. That's good. That's shown maturity beyond his years. And you'll probably, just by doing that and just kind of having that, digging down deep, you're gonna improve. You're just going to improve just because you have that self-pride that you want to be better. You want to practice better. You want to execute better. You want to be a better teammate. You're going to see a different Lamar this year just because of those instances. I know there's a lot of football to be played, but that's where it starts, man. You got to dig down deep sometimes, look at yourself to make that initial change.
Knee-jerk reaction, four practices in. Can the defense be better this year than last year statistically? And in that situational football, i.e., we're talking those big plays you give up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think...
That's a big ask because they finished top 30 last
year. I know. I think you're going to see a different energy. I think with what Diaco, what he brings. I think a run defense, it's always been solid. I mean, it's always been really good. I think it will continue to do that. I just don't know. I think there's still question marks at the outside linebacker spot. I know we might get into that a little bit just because you're hearing some incoming freshmen. They're trying to... Guy Thomas trying to maybe force him into a situation.
Hold that thought.
Yeah, so that's still a huge aspect to me because that's, in my opinion, in a 3-4, the outside linebacker spot, and who you have lining up over that center, for the majority of the snaps is an intricate part to that 3-4 defense, and you have to play the run well, and you have to play the pass well as an outside linebacker. So it's a lot, and trying to find that guy is a huge key part to making this defense very successful. And I don't, by all sounds of it, they're still kind of looking, they're still fishing for that guy. They know there's some fish out there, but no one's really biting on yet. They're not really ready to take that role, it seems like. So that's still causing me to still in that kind of wait and see type of mode. Okay.
Jay Moore is in. 40 Minutes of Football continues on Hail Varsity Radio. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning is TJ's last hurrah with us here on Hail Varsity. And we are allowing you to send well wishes to him on Twitter. Of course, we'll allow it. @TJ_Henning. Very nice messages only. That includes me. I'm adhering to that. So we will get caught up with Mike Shewhart, Wilderness Ridge Golf, in 15 minutes. Klausburn, a message of thanks and get out of here for TJ Henning in less than an hour. Zach Taylor, Husker Hall of Famer. TJ giving me the death glare. Yes, Ribfest tickets. Yes, VIP tickets for the Salt Dogs shortly. As 40 Minutes of Football continues on Hail Varsity.
State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
I will take a picture. He is here in studio. It is Jay Moore. All show long. Good to have him in.
Glory days, huh?
It's all good. We're hitting the career highlights.
It is.
We were just talking during the break. Freaking Tom Brady's going to be 40 tomorrow.
Yeah, what did it say? 18th year in the NFL?
Yeah.
I bet you he plays another three or four years. I know he wants to play five.
I think Giselle's making him. She don't want him around. It's me. I'd be around all the time.
I bet you would.
And she'd want me around.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That sweet hair of yours.
That's right. It is glorious. TJ Henning. It's like, yeah, I'm going to. TJ's taking a picture of my hair right now to take with him. It's phenomenal. Okay, we are going to check in with Zach Taylor in 1 hour. Husker Hall of Famer and roommate of 1J Moore. Can tap the line if you like. Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Good question on BTN Live. With the quarterback uncertainty in the West, which quarterback installs the most confidence entering 2017? They're asking Big Ten fans. And the votes right now, Tanner Lee at 37%, Thorson at 23%, Alex Hornibrook at 28%, David Blau. Man, Blau's rethinking that whole Purdue thing because he's an awesome quarterback. He's rethinking heading there. He's at 12% because he's going to be a pinata. 2 years from now, maybe they'll be better. We're talking defense, though. Let's flip it around. You have some storylines defensively in the Big Ten, and one of those storylines is Nebraska and Coach Diaco, and you've heard it aplenty. That's the energy factor, and Diaco spent time in front of the cameras and mics yesterday. And, Bert, I'm going to just ask you this. Do you think this defense will – I asked you if they'll be better this year than last year statistically, and that's hard to say transition-wise.
I was a little hesitant.
That's yeah. Fair. That's fair. Let me narrow it down. I think they'll be better in big games.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. I think they will be.
Because you got lit up on offense.
Yeah, I think that I feel pretty comfortable. Now, is that going to equate to more wins? Not necessarily, but...
You can play better.
Not getting...
60 hung on you, 60, 40 hung on you.
60 burger thrown up on you, you know?
Yeah, that's no good. Do you think this defense needed a change in a guy and a personality like Diaco? I mean, the teaching and the pedigree speaks for itself, but just the personality, do you think it needed it?
Yeah, I think just the attention to detail. I think
the feel is, I think guys want to go play for him.
I agree.
I think I questioned that a year ago.
You have to.
With Banker.
Playing defense, you know, it's all about executing, obviously. It's offensive and defense executing, but defensively is so much about effort, enthusiasm. If you are going to make a mistake, make it fast. Mm-hmm. Make it plain physical. You can erase a lot of mistakes when you do that. I think just that energy that he brings, I think it's infused the coaching staff. It's infectious. And I think it's, you know, I kind of remember when Bo came in here as a D coordinator back in 03.
That's kind of how I'm looking at this year. Similar background, similar pedigree, mm-hmm. as far as this guy's really good. And I know Bo was coming from the NFL, but you know how tough 02 was on the Nebraska defense.
Right.
Okay. And you know what happened in 03. It wasn't perfect, but it was good. And I'm thinking last year wasn't perfect, but it was good at times. Can it happen again?
Yeah. I hope so. I think
I know what you want.
Right. I just looking back, you always think it's funny, you always think you're working hard, whatever you're doing, you think you're doing it to the best of your ability. But sometimes when someone new comes in and you're like, man, I really wasn't working that hard at all. He kinda not necessarily calls you out on it, but just heightens your awareness to everything. And all of a sudden it's like,
without a doubt.
You think, oh man, I used to run the football. No, you didn't. I used to play with good technique. Not really. I used to understand the defense. Not fully. You know, someone kind of comes in and calls you out. It's like, listen, this is what we're doing. This is how we're getting here. This is how we're going to go about our business. I remember Bo just coming in and just dog cussing people because they were running the ball. You know, and you thought you were, but no, not really. But just amazing how you create better habits and you create the energy and the effort. And it just, those habits then transfer over and you become just such a better defense or just a better football player in general. You just sometimes a different voice, a different way of looking at it, a different way of understanding it, kind of reinvent your enthusiasm and how you think about yourself and how you do things. And that's not only talking about the players. I mean, I was talking about the coaching staff. It's talking about everyone. I think that's just, it's kind of a breath of fresh air in my opinion. I love the 3-4 defense. I think it's great. I'm really excited to see it get going. But I think this overall, just hearing someone else, hearing a different way, hearing different terminology, I think that's going to make a world of difference, not only for the players, but just for the coaching staff throughout the season, especially when times get tough, too. I think that's going to help just to have some guy to fall back on here and just, you know, able to handle, you know, it's not going to be, you know, sunshine and rainbows. Just having someone able to see how you handle a little controversy, a little, you know, adversity. You know, how are you going to handle this one? We just let up two quick touchdowns. We're done 14 rip, you know, early in the game. You know, how are we going to respond? How's Diaco going to respond? I think a lot of that's to be seen, but it's going to be, I think it will benefit a lot more, especially in those big games that we talked.
Kalu, he went off on Kalu in a positive way. And what he can do for the rest of the defense with Kalu at that safety spot, do you think there are big things in store for Josh?
I think it remains to be seen. I think, you know, Diaco pumping him, he's obviously doing good things. I think it's always good to give your guys some confidence.
How much of that was fluff and how much of that was real?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard. I've never seen Josh Kalu play safety before.
I mean, we saw a little bit from here and there.
Right, but you know, more like nickel stuff. I don't know. But I think he can play at a very high level. I love him back there. Mm-hmm. I think his perspective of being as a corner now to a safety, his understanding how the communication has to be now, because, you know, a lot of times the safeties are not necessarily more often, but they're kind of setting the back end. You know, they're kind of making the calls. And corners will do it too, but they're kind of the eyes and ears of those back four guys. And with him having his familiarity with the corner spot, he knows what he sees, what he recognizes, what he's comfortable with, and he's able to relay that amongst those other four guys more efficiently, quicker. I think it's going to benefit the defense and those back end guys a lot. I don't know if it's to an NFL capability.
Sure.
But I think getting his speed, getting his athleticism back there is going to help. But I think just from a communication standpoint, period, I think that's, in my opinion, that trumps having the speed and athleticism sometimes, even though I've said a million times this defense has got to become faster and more athletic, but sometimes you're able to play faster and more athletic when everyone's on the same page, everyone's communicating better, everyone knows what each other's doing, and then you can kind of worry about the other crap and you go make plays.
Kind of evidence of buy-in. Kalu moving, all good with it. Lamar Jackson looking in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two big things. Evidence of maybe some resistance to buy in after year one. You got guys leaving for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, your best player missed two games due to suspension. I mean, is it that just cut and dry with that whole buy in? It's practice four, so it's still talking season, but it seems like it. You got a change in script, you got a change in scheme. And you got a different communicator with what they're wanting and what they're needing to do. Let's talk outside linebacker first. Guy Thomas, 200 pounds, on signing day, comes in at 230. He is looking marvelous, and they're checking how well he can do things and understand and go play. They're really trying to put their toe in the water with him to see if he can't be an option, be a good option. Is he a guy you think they can create, and what would you create from a specialization standpoint from him to use his abilities to not redshirt because you need heat off the edge in this defense?
Yeah, I mean, he's your stereotypical, prototypical outside linebacker, 3-4, tall, long, anywhere from 230 to 265. I'm kind of built like the guy I used to play with in San Francisco, Manny Lawson, tall, long, super athletic, can run like a deer. I think it just kind of shows that they're, like we talked about before, they're still unsure who they're going to use at that opposite side of Gifford and Newby. They don't really know yet. No one's really taken ownership of that spot, and there's still time. Obviously, we've still got a month yet, before the first game kicks
Gifford
off.
Gifford and Newby, I think, will be fine. I'm talking
you're talking about Alex Davis. You're talking some of those other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing what he's able to do. I mean, it's hard for a true freshman to come in and grasp a 3-4 level defense. Setting the edge and rushing the passer, that's not the issue. It's the communication and it's dropping in the coverage. How comfortable are you able to do that? Understanding wide receiver sets, understanding the depths of your drops, understanding all these different things, communication between linebackers and the secondary. It's a lot. So it's going to be interesting, but I think they see him show up like, man, he could be a difference maker. I think if he does play, initially you got to look for him to be just an edge guy, nickel, dime, third long situations.
Does that give away, say you're not out of your 3-4, does that give away that element of surprise? Where's the fourth rusher coming? Is that part of the concern? And just to pair this with Alex Davis, too, and Bray was really on point with this, and you've said it quite a few times, just learning how to cover after being a down lineman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not easy.
Still an issue.
Right, it's not easy. I haven't been at enough practice to know who's they're going to be the rusher, who's going to be the dropper. I mean, to my understanding is they both got to be able to do it, because otherwise you're kind of giving away the element. Because that's the greatest thing about the 3-4 is you don't know exactly who's coming. You can kind of manipulate how the offensive line sets, and you can get really great mismatches, outside linebacker on the back or a tight end, where you should win those one-on-one matchups 95% of the time. So I hope they don't end up doing that, which I don't think they will. But it's trying to understand that dropping into coverage and everything. It's a process. It's a process. You gotta be thrown out there kind of amongst the wolves when the coaches aren't there standing behind you in practice to kind of learn. You gotta learn the hard way sometimes.
That is Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. The Wilderness Ridge Golf segment coming up. There's 40 minutes of football for you. More football, more Huskers on the way.
Back.
Fellas, you think we could
Listen to the radio.
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
It is that time, Wilderness Ridge Golf Segment. Mike Shuhart. Shuey is in. Taco Tuesdays, Wilderness Ridge, the lodge, and membership specials, benefits, and pricing to find out about. WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 402-434-5106. Mike Shuhart, Director of Instruction, also Husker Golf, and Director of Golf, Chris Thompson. Shuey, it's good to see you, man. Saw you on Saturday, and you had the tournament going on out there.
Yeah, we did. Busy. Busy time of the year, man.
You're very kind. You said hi. Thank you so much
it was a great day to play, wasn't it?
The Talon course was awesome.
Yeah.
It was fun.
I heard you almost made a hole-in-one.
I did. I ended up parring.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, I know.
So let me get this straight.
You both don't act surprised.
No,
like,
I'm not.
Oh,
no.
He's a foot from the hole, and he puked it.
Did it hit near the hole and then finish like 10 to 15 feet away, or did it like... I'm just wondering. I'm just trying to make sense of this for you. That's all. Because a lot of people, you know, the ball, the pitch mark could be inches away from the hole, but it could still finish 10 to 15 where it's not... a gimme putt by any means.
See, thank you. I jumped to conclusions,
right,
like you're elbowing me here. No, it was in like the previous hole, it was one of your par threes. And let's just say we dug a trench, not intentionally, but it just didn't go well off the box, the first shot on one of your par threes. But this might have been number five.
Okay.
It was wonderful. So on the way in.
Over the water, beautiful little hole.
Yeah, it hits and then it just starts traveling, making its way.
You're like, that's going
to
go in.
To its
right?
Happy place.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, because the clowns I was golfing with, well, I was golfing with two of them, Bailey's money, was like, was that you? I mean, just piling on. And then it drifted towards the flag. Then it stopped. And it looked way better than it probably was. But I saw where it landed, fixed the ball mark, because I love doing
good
that.
Man.
That means I actually found the green. And then the putt was probably like 3 or 4 feet.
Okay, well, it's not; those aren't necessarily gimmies.
No, they're not.
But what is?
I missed my fair share of them.
When I say hole in one, I mean, it looked like it was there. It looked like it was drifting towards it. So that's probably wrong vocabulary, because almost a hole in one means you're like on the lip, on the edge, right?
Necessarily. I mean,
no, it's all
on,
it's
all in the eyes of the beholder.
Exactly right.
Professional. So there's my little golf story.
That's
and
awesome,
the beer
though.
Was cold. It was wonderful.
It was always cold.
You, the Nebraska amateurs, how about this guy, Shuey?
I know. Pretty impressive, man.
Yes.
Pretty awesome.
It was fun. This man's he's helped me out a lot.
Of course.
Next to me.
That's what he does. He helps
people.
No,
he's
people.
Great. No, he's good.
Do you have
really good.
An update for us on the Divot Dogs? How'd the tournament end? How are things rocking?
Tomorrow, man. Tomorrow at 8:30, we'll be on the links.
Okay.
The quest for the belt.
I like
so,
that. Have you seen this
big,
belt?
Big day tomorrow.
I haven't seen the belt yet.
Okay.
That's the goal.
Well, what are some things that folks can find out when they visit Wilderness Ridge? Tell me a little bit here, Shuey, how, as we transition here, it's August. And you've got twilight hours, and you've got some options for folks to come check out Wilderness if they're thinking about fall, if they're thinking about spring membership. What's going on with Wilderness? And kind of share the good news about it. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, great time of the year to play, too. Fall golf is mm-hmm. amazing. You know, it's been hot. It starts to cool down a little bit, you know, and it's course is in great shape. Mm-hmm. You know, they run a lot of specials, so... Like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you'll see some after 2 o'clock specials that you can get out and play the golf course.
It's always special, but it's real special after
that's
two.
Right. So, some great things to take advantage of to get out and play. Mm-hmm. You know, the best time of the year to play.
A little break here before football starts with the kids.
That's
soccer
right.
starts with the kids. Baseball's done.
School's getting ready to
Got
start.
Got some time.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a lot
good.
Of time. No, there's plenty of time. We're talking about it's moving fast. It's kind of getting depressed already August because that means there's still plenty of golf. You still got three solid months mm-hmm. of golf left, but it's just like, man, where has the summer gone? I know there's still some time. What is summer run still? It's like September 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So still obviously a month and a half left of it, but it's just crazy how much time flies. But no, it's getting good now to where that's weather. It's, I mean, the last couple of weeks, and I saw you out there on Friday for the Interclub deal. I mean, that was the hottest day of the year.
100 degrees, man.
I mean,
it was
like
brutal.
105, like heat index of like 115. It was ridiculous. I mean, I think
Chewy was in a sweater. He didn't care.
That's right.
Gosh, it was brutal. Mm. I mean, it's that great time. Chewy, PGA Championship's coming up.
Yeah.
Starting next week. Quail Hollow, of course, we've seen a lot with the Wells Fargo, and they didn't play it there this year. Obviously, they played another course in North Carolina with the PGA Championship there, but you've competed in a few PGA Championships yourself, being a PGA Class A member, all this stuff. So I know you probably agree. If you had to rank the majors, you'd go Masters, U.S. Open?
Yeah, probably.
Then PGA or British?
British.
Yeah.
Then the PGA.
Yeah. But the special part of being, I mean, because we just had the Nebraska section just conclude their section championship.
Uh-huh.
They're sending six guys to be able to compete to earn a spot. And we have one guy, Ryan Vermeer, who's competing this week. So being able to do that and how you were able to do that for many years.
It's pretty special. I mean, to be a golf professional, the PGA of America, I mean, that's one of the perks, I guess, if you want to call it that you have the opportunity to do. You know, if you go to our national championship and you play well there, just like Ryan did, Ryan Vermeer from Omaha, he'll be representing Nebraska at the PGA Championship. So you have an opportunity to go play in a major. I mean, you can't do that very often. So it's pretty cool to see him, you know, play well enough to earn a spot to do that. And then we just, like you said, we had our championship just a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. So that qualifies them for our nationals. So with them, if they can finish in the top 20, they have a chance to earn their way into the PGA next year. So it's always special when you have a local guy, somebody that you know from the area that's playing in it. And that's one of the cool things about the tournament, too, is that you have 20 PGA professionals that are playing in that championship. So you don't get to see those guys very often. And those guys can play, man. There's a lot of good players out there that are going to be there representing different sections around the country. And representing me, I guess. So it's fun for them.
Your experience at the PGA.
So, man, it's hard to describe until you're there. I mean, it's a major championship, you know. It's like a guy that's a football player that gets to play in the Super Bowl. It's a tennis professional that gets to play in the U.S. Open, you know. You just don't get to do that very often. So to have the opportunity to do that, it's pretty amazing.
Where did you play, and how did you – we'll carry this over, but how did you – I mean, I know how you did it. You won, but the journey for it is what I'm asking.
It was fun. I mean, because you're competing against your fellow club professionals,
sure,
you know, in their championship, and then as you – perform well there, you earn the right to play in the PGA, and then you go to the PGA. It's just a lot different animal, you know, that just the level of competition and just the environment, because you're not used to it unless you've been there a bunch of times. I mean, it's something that you're not used to. You get there, man, and there's thousands of people all over the place. The golf course is long and hard, and you know, you're standing there next to a Fred Couples and a Tiger Woods and a Phil Mickelson and guys like that. And it's like, it's just a totally different environment. You're just not,
they're standing next to Chewy.
That's right. I wish I'd think that way.
Save that thought. We'll talk more about PGA. Mike Shewhart is in Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, wildernessridgegolf.com. Get that tee time locked in for you this weekend. A quick timeout, more of Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, Mike Shewhart in studio, Shuey, Jay Moore, TJ Henning, down to 1 hour. It's like Andy Dufresne. Found that rock. He's going to keep hammering. Chris Schmidt, hope you're well. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment, wildernessridgegolf.com, 402-434-5106 is what you dial for that tee time. And find out about membership pricing. We were talking about the PGA Championship as rounds out the major here. Old Jordan.
Yeah.
Chance to make some history.
Yeah. That's going to be the big hot topic for most of it leading up to that. Can he complete the Grand Slam? You know, he's won all the other majors except the PGA. He came close a couple times, so that'll be the big topic on whether he can win that to complete the Grand Slam. He might be the youngest player ever to do that if he does win. So,
who'd you lean on? And you've been very focused throughout your career, and you know it's a big deal, the majors, but you try and keep it simple and normal, and it's like any other shot. I mean, you can't overblow it, even though it is huge.
Yeah.
Did you lean on anyone, or were you able to just soak in and enjoy your major appearances?
I wish I would have been able to do that. Looking back,
hindsight, like, would have done something different.
Yeah, no question. I was pretty intense. Pretty intense when I'm on the golf course. Pretty intense, focused on what I was trying to do. And sometimes you lose sight of really what the whole event really is, so mm-hmm. you don't get to kind of enjoy what the event is, especially if you're not playing like you want or
sure.
what you expect. So looking back, I wish I would have done that a little bit more. Probably would have played better too. So again, it's hard to not put a lot of pressure on yourself because you want to perform at a certain level, you know. But it's tough looking back, you know. Obviously it's easy to look back, but it's like if you just go do what you know how to do, and let what you already know how to do, it'll probably take care of itself and you'll be okay, you know. But you get there in that arena and it's like, oh man, it's like, am I good enough? Is my game good enough? And it's like, you know, probably not. But me personally, if I could have looked at it a little more realistically, yeah, it was okay because I had success before that.
Sure.
And I competed against all those guys before that for a long time, and I was somewhat competitive with them. But sometimes you get there and you just put way too much pressure on yourself and what you think you need to do. And it's like, if I would have done it all over again, it would have been a lot less than that. And I would have played a lot better too.
Mike Shewhart's with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Wilderness Ridge Golf segment. His thoughts on the PGA and his time there. That was, you know, Monday morning quarterbacking is awesome.
Yeah.
It is. after the fact,
always
how it goes.
Always.
Should we hang out if you want? We got
love to.
A farewell for TJ from Clausburn here in 10 minutes. That could be intense. It should be okay. And then Zach Taylor is 30 minutes away on Hale Varsity. We'll get you a 6-month online subscription right now to HaleVarsity.com. How about recruiting? How about camp coverage? How about the ultimate online fan experience, message board community, and inside information? Yours right now. Caller 4, caller 5. A 6-month online subscription for you to HaleVarsity.com. Caller 4, caller 5. Yours right now, 6-month online subscription, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, caller 4, caller 5, a 6-month online subscription to HaleVarsity.com, 466-3776.
Welcome to Hale Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hale Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Don't forget, we can say it one more day, TJ Henning. The TJ Henning farewell tour, hour two. As Husker Hall of Fame quarterback Zach Taylor coming up in 30 minutes. Chris Schmidt, Jay Moore, TJ Henning. We have a special guest on the line to pass the Kleenex, help say goodbye. As he is a wise, experienced, mythical Nebraskan to give some advice to TJ Henning. We welcome in Clausburn back with Hale Varsity Radio. Clausburn, how are you?
Well, I'm doing okay, Christopher, and I certainly appreciate that introduction, but as I understand it, I'm just some guy in a chair, so you don't need to flower it up any more than that. According to TJ, that's all I am. So, you know, it's true, TJ. I am just some guy in a chair. But going by the radio terms that I just learned by watching the Mike and the Mad Dog 30 for 30, I'm in the power chair. And if you were to line up our chairs by significance and place mine in the 1480 studios at 38th and Cornhusker in Lincoln, I think your chair would be somewhere near Waverly. And I'm not talking about the fun part of Waverly. I'm talking about the sad part of Waverly. Although, depending upon your point of view, that could be the exact same place. I'm really not here to judge. You know, TJ, people would pay extra money for my chair, and they have, and that's okay. That's good. You know, 1480 was so worried. Their management was so worried, or whoever owns them this week was so worried about your successor having to use your chair that they called up the office supply store and asked them to take it away, just get rid of it. And their response was, well, why don't you cut out the middleman? Just call down to the state penitentiary, see if there's any arsonists who are done building their license plates for the day, and have him take care of the problem.
Wow.
You know, I give TJ a hard time, but he's really overcome a lot. He's become a sports talk show host without really being able to talk or know sports all that well.
Yep, there you go.
He might be able to tell you who Nebraska's quarterback is, but if you ask him to explain what the Stanley Cup is, he'd probably tell you that's what young Mr. Morgan puts on before he heads out to football practice in order to protect himself. So,
yeah, that's true.
But I tell you what, I do wish you the best in the future. It's kind of a mixed bag when you leave working with Chris Schmidt on the radio. You can either be on every network calling every sport like Bill Dolman, or have your own show in a bigger market, or perhaps his greatest former coworker work for an NHL team in Dallas, Texas, but his name escapes me. Or you could go the other way and end up hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars postgame show, or put on a sweater vest and act like you like it on the radio for 3 hours, or spend a year begging Corey Ross for just one more shot with the Omaha Beef. Which reminds me, I haven't said hello to Jay yet. Hello.
How we doing?
Okay. But in all seriousness, TJ, you've made this show very enjoyable. I look forward to hearing more from you in the future. And until I do, I'll take my joy in thinking that you really believed every Friday you were calling a combination of Santa Claus and the greatest chair sitter there ever was.
That's right, Klaus. Thanks, man. And, you know, you're not just some guy. I probably should admit it's just some chair, but, you know, well,
just
that
to,
happens.
To reference it, you said what about the suite last week?
Yeah, it was just a non-story to me, and I guess I maybe said Tom Osborne was just some guy, but, you know, that'll happen.
Klaus, are you all right?
I believe I can forgive you. If I can forgive Barry Switzer, I think I can forgive TJ Henning. So.
All right.
We'll call it good, and I look forward to hearing you on the public access station real soon.
Appreciate it.
Wow. Klausburn, be good. Thanks so much.
Okay.
You know, not every day does Klausburn roast, but it was a good roast.
It was a good one.
We will hear from TJ Henning. The final segment will be yours. You're welcome to sit in now, too. But I'll say this, TJ, because he's an amazing employee, friend, and talent. He has two new guys, new TJs, we pray. And he's put shock collars on both of them, just like I told him and taught him. No, it's all good. Listen, man, Klausburn was tame, actually.
It was. Pretty tame for
when
him.
When you run into Klaus again, are you going to be harmful?
No.
No?
A harmful guy.
Okay. Well, that's true. That's
not
true.
A harmful guy at all.
Okay.
He just, you know, he's got to get his jabs, and that's fine, you know.
The mailbag is out. Good read on HaleVarsity.com. And, you know, I wanted to spend a few minutes here with the mailbag. And it's pretty nice to go over and you have some just experts covering it. Mike Babcock, Jacob Padilla, Derek Peterson, Greg Smith, Brandon Vogel. Each week, You can tweet in or email in questions you have for the group. I'll answer once in a while. And listener of the show, big FM 101.5 and 1480 listener, Simba Sims on Twitter, asked a great question. I want to highlight this and spend a minute on it and get into the mailbag here. What is the question of fall camp? What one thing about this football team are you racking your brain to try and get the answer for, knowing you won't have it till probably post-Oregon? I've added a bit to it, but what's the one question? You have so many this season. Pick one that you want to know the answer to. You wish you could have the answer to right now. You can join us on the phone lines, 466-377-6800, 825-5865. And I can tap the line, Chillingbridge Cork and Tap House. But what's the one question of fall camp for you as a Nebraska fan? Do we say it together? Because I think I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going with that question? Or are you sticking to a specific side of the football?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I think it's both sides of football, but it's
uno.
Getting back to playing physical football.
So are we going to say it in O-line?
Yeah, but I think it's, without a doubt, well, I think it's O-line and D-line, but it's establishing the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
But that's, for me, it's...
That's your most important question.
Can we get back to... But to me, it's getting back to playing physical up front. And I don't think we've played physical up front for a while. I mean, you might say we might not have had enough talent up there to do it, but a lot of times playing physical, I think you can overcome talent by practicing tougher, more physical.
Do you think they're practicing tougher this summer from what you've heard and seen?
Well, it's hard to, you know, in the first few days of camp to where, you know, you're now that they're college training, you know, camp only used to be 2 weeks. Now it's four because you don't have two days anymore in there. But, you know, I think from what I saw during the spring, I think the infusion of Diaco, I think he's brought some more physicalness into, I think he saw some, you know, there's certain ways. I mean, he was a head coach for a reason, and he has certain ways he likes to do things. And you're paying that guy a lot of money. You're gonna do some things he's gonna want, obviously. And I think he's the energy and everything. I think he's gonna jack up those intensity of those practices. And you just have to practice physical football. You have to do it. You don't have to do it for a while. You don't have to do it every day for 2 hours. I mean, you have to have a couple periods of practice where it's a get after it period where we're going good on good. It's we're getting after it for a little bit. And, you know, I that's my main question. Can they do that? Can they get over this fear of getting guys hurt? You know, getting, you know, it's hard. It's hard. Coach Riley hasn't ran that many, you know, he hasn't run physical practices. You know, it doesn't. I think he's always had that fear of getting guys hurt, and I get that. But to be able to get that you know, get the O-line better, you got to practice more physical. You got to go good on good. It can't be a brother-in-law situation, you know, where you take each other. You know, you're trying to take care of each other out there, and you know, hey, let's take it easy because I'm a little sore today.
Okay.
Yeah. Well.
Tough.
You know, tough. You know, it's you're probably a little sore after getting whooped, you know, by 50 some points against Ohio State. So. You know, you got to get after it, so you make sure that doesn't happen again.
I think the overall toughness question's valid. That's one or 1A on a lot of people's minds when you ask the question. What's the big question of fall camp? What's the big question for this Nebraska football team this year? And there's, you could put 20 questions together, but I think the toughness question's very fair. And mine is kind of a part of that, and it is the offensive line. That's part of the answers you read in the mailbag. It is that offensive line question. And while I don't question Gates because he has had two good years and one bad game, I don't question Foster because you don't know what you have in him because he's been injured, but I believe it'll be very, very good, and I know it'll be better than what they had at guard last year. I know what I have in Farmer. Very good. I know what I have in Conrad. I mean, he is a worker, and he is a guy that wants it. And he's shifted from tackle to center. I mean, I think he's going to be kind of your co-voice on that offensive line. Your answer is going to be with this offensive line how number 77 does.
Yeah.
You're right.
I know
he's
had some injury issues, but again, he just played soft. You know, I just call it how it is. Honestly, I think that offensive line just played soft, period.
And I'll give them the benefit of the doubt.
You can't have it.
On the soft part, I will say they didn't have a good combination of playing physical teams and being injured.
I mean, yeah,
I'll say that.
It's always a tough two-way street because you start getting guys hurt, and like I said again, you have the fear of getting other guys hurt because you know you're already thin at a position. Mm-hmm. You know you're don't want to burn red shirts, so then you start to tailor make your practices to, you know, look after those guys a little more, and then it just over time it just oozes into you. You just get soft. There's no other way to put it, and it's just I hope they can get over that. I hope guys stay healthy, but I just think the more physical you practice, the longer you're gonna keeps you from getting hurt. In my opinion, I think it does. I think because you learn how to practice better, you get used to it, and you just learn to do things better.
I'll say this too: when you look at the second unit offensive line, Gaylord on a tackle spot, Raridan, Farniok,
Wilson,
Bo Wilson, and I'm missing somebody, Decker at center. Mm-hmm. We don't know the depth chart yet, but I'm just going down.
Finally seems like that. It's been a while.
You can give it some hell during practice,
right? You got a solid two deep. Because Conrad's scheduled as number one center, correct?
That's what it looks like.
Looks like, but yeah. So it's that first. I mean, I love Conrad. I mean, that's a nice.
I liked him at tackle.
Yeah, but I think he's even better center, in my opinion, because that size, the versatility, the athletic ability. You know, you can pull him in situations if you want to, but I think I love that move. I mean, just Neville's just got to step up. It's time. It's like, hey, man, you know. You got all the tools, brother.
You're good.
You got all the tools, the physical tools. It's just you got to make your mind up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that come to Jesus. I feel like this team is at like a come to Jesus point this year, just because of what lures next year with that schedule.
I'll say this to you: you're going to think I'm nuts. I think when and Riley's talked a lot about culture and how it's kind of taking hold. I think the Diaco blue-collar toughness and that defensive mindset will force that offense to kind of either evolve or die, mm-hmm. either get picked on.
Yeah, get your ass kicked every day in practice or get better from it.
Right, and respond. Mm-hmm. And I'm not tanking the 17 season. I'm excited to see how it works out. You have some winnable home games against most of your West threats.
Yeah.
That said, I think if this group comes back as seniors or juniors, and maybe you get Lee to stay in next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a stud tailback. You get in the recruit. Maybe you find you got Stanley as a senior. You got these tight ends that are juniors. It all comes together for you for 18, where you had kind of baptism by fire. You had an okay year, but it wasn't what you wanted. And while road games will suck in Michigan, while it'll be awful to go to Iowa and Wisconsin.
And Ohio State. And Ohio State, right?
Yeah, I mean, Michigan State instead of Ohio State, but
right.
Still, it's not fun. You'll be prepared and as experienced as any team in the country a year from now.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a chance this year to be ahead of schedule if you get tough, if you're balanced, and you have a quarterback right now that's better than anything they can put on film in the West, I believe. You have a better talent, better skill set at quarterback. We'll talk to one of the best at quarterback. He's out with the Rams now. He is Zach Taylor, Hall of Famer. Caller 5, a 4-pack of VIP seats to the Salt Dogs. What day? For Friday. Caller 5, Salt Dog tickets, VIP seats for you. Caller 5, 466-3776, 466-3776.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Freshman Jay Moore, TJ Henning. We welcome in, now part of the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame, 2017 Big 12 Player of the Year on offense, Zach Taylor, the quarterback with us. Zach, great to speak with you again. Congratulations. How are you?
I appreciate that. Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, appreciate your time, and what's the reaction to being up for and in the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame this 2017 class?
Very surprised. You know, something that I certainly didn't expect to happen, but very grateful to have been a part of a great tradition like Nebraska, and was fortunate to have a lot of great teammates like Jay Moore, and you know, that was really a group effort and one of the best locker rooms I've ever been around.
Zach, I know you're not going to be able to make it back for the ceremony of being honored at one of the halftimes here in early September, but I know you haven't been – we talked last week, and you said you haven't been back since you left, which was kind of crazy. I didn't realize that. But whenever you would make it back to Lincoln, what are some of the few spots, the old of the old stopping grounds where you have to go get a bite to eat, get something to drink? What are those spots you definitely got to hit up?
Bison Witches was my spot. I don't know if it's still there or not.
It's still there. Trust me, it's still there.
And the beer's still cold there, Zach, here. So.
My wife and I spent a lot of time there. I'm sure I went with Jay a million times, but that was a good spot. And I'd kind of forgotten this, but I recruited a kid in Iowa last year, and we drove through Lincoln for maybe an hour max. So I did actually get to swing through Haymarket real quick, but I never feel like I've been able to be back. But I've heard Haymarket's changed. I'd love to see it down there, you know, and kind of experience it, but certainly do miss Lincoln.
Well, you came to Lincoln as a JUCO transfer, and Coach Callahan was here in Nebraska transitioning from the option offense to the West Coast, and you made it fly, and you played for a Big 12 championship with Jay Bird in your senior season. What were your expectations as you came into Lincoln, and kind of what did you foresee your career path like at the college level, Zach, with just the opportunity you had?
Yeah, I just wanted to play. You know, that was one of the reasons I transferred from Wake Forest. I wasn't a great fit in that offense. Didn't feel like I was going to play football there. Wasn't having fun. Because, you know, if you're not playing, college isn't fun, just in general. The thing you're trying to work the hardest for, if you're not doing it, it's not a lot of fun. So my expectations were I just wanted to start. I wanted to go to a place that would give me an opportunity to start, and they told me they'd give me an opportunity, nothing more than that. And so really, in terms of expectations, day one, I just wanted to get on the field and be able to play. And, you know, fortunately was able to make that happen.
Zach, just kind of, you brought up, you know, you went to Butler Community College. That's how you you came to Lincoln. And The Last Chance U has been such a popular show on Netflix. Now in the season two, I've seen both seasons. I don't know if you have seen any of it, kind of with East Mississippi Community College down there in Scuba, Mississippi. And it's just, it's a different world. I mean, was it that crazy for you if you've seen it as well as Butler there in Kansas? Or is that kind of a whole different situation as a JUCO school?
I haven't seen the show. I can imagine it's not too different. There was nothing to do where I was at. It was all about football. It was a bunch of guys who, you know, probably like in the show, it was going to be their last chance because maybe something happened to them previously. Or it was a lot of guys who knew that they were only going to be good enough to play for 2 years in football. And so it was a good group to be around. Really got you refocused on loving football again. And it was the perfect environment for me to really get my confidence back and physically mature. But certainly when there's not a lot to do, a lot of things can happen off the field. And fortunately, that's not my lifestyle. But junior college is a lot different than anywhere else.
A few minutes, Zach Taylor with us. Hail Varsity Radio Hall of Famer 2017 in the class. And Zach, of course, a tremendous quarterback for Nebraska, Offensive Player of the Year in 2006. Zach, with this Nebraska locker room you were a part of, you mentioned it earlier here as we're talking. It was a great group of guys, but who are some of the guys you connected with? And was it easy to transition in? And you're a very humble guy, but if I ask everyone else about you, they would say you're no doubt a leader. How are you able to kind of prove yourself and do yourself to the teammates in that locker room?
Well, it was culturally a fit for me, you know, and somebody asked me this question the other day, and I thought about it more after the interview was over, and really that was such a mature locker room. You know, you just speak to really the heart of the team is guys from Nebraska, you know, who have been brought up the right way, and most of them have worked, you know, when they're not around football, and just they've been forced to mature faster, and they're good people, and it's kind of the area I'm from. So it wasn't hard for me to fit in. So in terms of becoming a leader, all you have to do is display toughness, be humble, do things the right way, because that's what's expected of a Nebraska player. And Jay was brought up that way. Dane Todd was brought up that way. Bo Root, you know, all those guys. So as long as you do that, you fit in instantly. And then if you can just prove yourself on the field, it's you can become a leader that way. So I thought it was pretty easy to fit in there at Nebraska. But, again, I might not have fit in everywhere. I might have gone to Miami, and it would have been totally not a fit because of the way I go about things. So I was fortunate to end up at Nebraska that way.
What were some of your options out of Butler? I mean, was it Nebraska and some other schools, or what made Nebraska the right place for you?
Well, fortunately, they were kind of in a transition period of quarterback, or otherwise I probably would have ended up at Marshall or Memphis. Those are the two trips I took. A lot of people call really at the last minute. You know, mm-hmm. there were some of the lesser Big Ten teams jump in there at the last second, but I wasn't going to commit on my visit. I told my parents I'm not going to do it. I want to make sure I'm at the right fit. Marshall had a great fit for me from a playing standpoint, but as soon as you get on campus, it's over. You know, no matter what you say before your visit, once you get in there and experience that atmosphere, there's no saying no to that.
What was it like being a quarterback at Nebraska?
I really enjoyed it. I don't remember too many negatives. You put a lot of pressure on yourself because you know, the expectations are to win, and a lot of times the quarterback's a big part in that. And so, you know, the games I think about are all the games that we lost, because I think of all the things that I could have done better to help. And you know, I was fortunate to play with an unbelievable defense, you know, and we had great linemen. We had all the pieces in place, and so playing quarterback in Nebraska is kind of one of the best things in the world, I have to say. You know, certainly it's not all roses, but I had a lot of fun and was fortunate to be able to do that.
Yeah, I know getting used to that Callahan playbook was not easy. Talk about that a little bit. When you get that Bible kind of thrown in front of you, and your play calls are a couple paragraphs long. The process of going through that and getting comfortable with that, trying to be a starting quarterback in Nebraska.
Well, at first, it's very overwhelming. You know, I had to switch majors because of it. You know, I was a business major, and I was about to fail out of econ and accounting because I spent more time on my playbook than I did in those books. So it was overwhelming at first. It was a little bit difficult to picture the plays initially. And even really going into the season, I didn't feel completely comfortable. But once you get the hang of that offense, and as a matter of fact, I'm in that offense right now here in L.A., it is an awesome thing. Once it finally clicks and it all makes sense to you and you can picture everything that's being said, and I really enjoyed playing in it. It does take a year to get used to. And so you need some more experienced players to really maximize its potential. But like Jay said, there were some days where you had to close your eyes and say the play about 20 times over because it was, you know, maybe 13 to 15 words long. And, you know, you had to be perfect in the huddle or the play clock's going to run out. So, but you take a lot of pride in that. It puts a lot of pressure on you, and so you take a lot of pride in it. And you want to be great at it. And so, you know, I can still recite those play calls 15 years later because I had to repeat them so many times. I can still remember it like it was yesterday.
You kind of answered my question, or the question about to ask already, but learning that system and being a part of that intricate, in-depth system, preparing you for where you're at now in the coaching business, and being able to just coach multiple positions like you are. You've coached tight ends, you've been an OC, you've coached quarterbacks, now you're coaching receivers. But how that was able to help you out in what you're doing now?
Yeah, I'm a coach because of the foundation that my dad laid. But on top of that is because of the coaching I got at Nebraska. You know, Bill Callahan and Jay Norvell and Randy Jordan and all those guys had such an effect on how they coached me and what they taught me. Then it was a no-brainer for me to get into the profession because of what I'd learned. That was the one thing I felt comfortable doing. I didn't feel comfortable being an accountant or selling insurance or anything like that. I felt comfortable being in a football field and teaching people because of the way I had been taught. So it was a natural carryover for me, and it's worked out so far. A
couple more minutes. Zach Taylor's with us, Hail Varsity Radio Hall of Famer 2017, the Nebraska class, and Zach part of it, tremendous career at Nebraska, and helped solidify the quarterback spot, number of records, and a number of wins. Zach, you've been an OC, like Jay said. You've been a different position coach. You've also been to the college level at A&M. I remember that night where A&M knocked off Nebraska, I think 9-6, and you were a GA that year, and then you transitioned to the NFL, back to college, now back to the NFL. What's your experience like now in LA, as it's what's kind of old is new again as you move west from St. Louis to Los Angeles? How is it with the Rams? A lot of talent on that squad.
It's awesome. It's an unbelievable coaching staff, and that was a big draw for me to come out here, is get to meet a lot of different people and see the way that other people have done it. You know, and I've, every day I'm around this head coach, Sean McVay, you're more impressed. He's 31 years old. He's probably the only 31-year-old in the world that's capable of leading an NFL team the way he's doing it. And it, just being around him every day teaches me more about leadership and more about how to command coaches and players and how to interact with people and make them feel involved. And so it's really worked out as well as I could have hoped coming out here.
Zach, looking at it with NFL now, with the new CBA, the practices, and I know the players enjoy the new routine better, not having 2 days anymore, but how do the coaches view it now? Because, you know, you're a player at once, you enjoyed those light days, but how do the coaches now view training camp now? Because you're limited in what you're able to do as a coach.
Right. I think it's good because it gives us more time to prepare for practice, you know, and really get a chance to have more staff meetings during the day, watch all the tape. You know, that was a problem with the old 2 days is you didn't get a chance. You did all these one-on-ones and two-on-twos and all that stuff, but you didn't get a chance to watch the tape and correct the errors. And now, with only having one practice, you get more hours in the day, really in this developmental phase of early training camp where you get to correct everything. And so you don't watch every play, as you know, Jay, but the coaches are able to make cut-ups and pick out the important stuff. And we just have more time to kind of get our feet underneath us and be prepared for meetings and make sure that we're maximizing our time with our players when we do get it.
Zach, a Nebraska question before we say goodbye. Nebraska's kind of back into a similar offense that you ran, pro-style attack, West Coast elements. And what are your thoughts on that working, not just in Nebraska, but at the college level? You have a number of hours to do it in the NFL. You did it successfully at Nebraska. Is it a hard offense to navigate in college?
No, I think now there's a lot of pro-style teams, and I've never heard a play call from Mike Ravi. I don't know how they verbalize things, but I think now people have really – they run a pro-style offense, but they've simplified the verbiage.
Okay.
And so it makes it easier for the players to learn, and I've experienced that. I went to Texas A&M. We ran a West Coast offense. We just simplified it way down and didn't shift in motion as much, but tried to make it a little bit simpler for the players to learn because they're in spread offenses in high school now, and their playbooks are very simple, and to get them to play fast early in college, I think people are learning to simplify the verbiage so these players can come in and understand it more. But there's a lot of success with pro-style teams right now in college, and I'm for it 100%. And I know that Nebraska has really great teachers on their staff. I coached Matt Moore at the Miami Dolphins, who played for all those guys, Kavanaugh and Mike Riley and Danny Langsdorf. And when they were at Oregon State, he raved about them every day, talked about how great they were and how much they developed him. And as a matter of fact, Mike Riley has coached more quarterbacks in the NFL than any other coach in college football right now. So he certainly has a way of developing those guys. And Matt loved the way he was coached from them. And so I was a big fan when they hired Mike Riley and his staff, just based on what I heard from these other guys.
Zach, congrats to you. We'll catch up again. Best of luck this year in L.A., and thanks for a few minutes with us.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Time for a Jock Doc Wednesday. Dr. Brandon Seifert with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center. Dr. Brandon, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chris. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Football season is here. Soon it'll be fantasy football season. And let's spend a little bit of time talking Devin Smith going into his third year. 10 career catches in 2 years, former 37th pick overall. An ACL re-tear, Dr. Brandon. What happens with this?
Yeah, you know, just a devastating story for the kid. You know, he's really a tremendous athlete. I think he's out of Ohio State. Was really, really pretty talented for them. I think the Jets are pretty high on him, and obviously you got a guy that's been been in the league for 2 years and hasn't hardly played due to the injury bug. I'm trying to remember where in the 15th season he got hurt, if it was on the front end of that, but basically missed that, rehabbed it. Got his ACL complete in terms of rehab, and I thought maybe he played a little bit of either playoff time last year, maybe towards the end of the season, and then was evidently doing really well, and then had a re-tear this spring. Risk of re-tear, it's not very high. In fact, you actually have an increased risk of tearing on the other side, more so than you do the repair or the reconstructed side. But I think that re-tear rate is probably somewhere in that 4 to 7% range. I think it's definitely under 10%. So again, kind of a rare event. But definitely a very devastating one when it occurs, and especially when it occurs, you know, this early in his recovery.
Well, you look at Devin Smith and that ACL that happened in late April. And, you know, just 3 years, but so many miles on him when it comes to just surgery and rehab. Dr. Brandon Seifert's with us, Lincoln Orthopedic Center at Jock Doc Wednesday. With Devin Smith here, what's your next step here as a physician, as a surgeon, to go in and fix what had already been fixed?
Yeah, and so, you know, the big thing comes about is, you know, graft choice. That's always the big thing with reconstructing ACL. So, you know, as kind of a review on these, ACL, anterior cruciate ligament, it's the big ligament right in the center of your knee, and it's the front one. It stops the shin or the tibia from going forward when you kind of plant or cut. It's kind of the main function of it. And so whenever you tear your ACL, you really can't go in and repair these things. I know they're doing a bunch of studies on that, but I'm not sure they'll be all that successful. It's been something that's been tried before. At any rate, it's not something we repair. We have to reconstruct it, meaning we have to rebuild the ligament. And so the big decision between docs and athletes is, you know, how do you do that? What graft do you use? Do you use the patella graft, which is on the front of your knee? Do you use a hamstring graft, which is kind of off to the side and behind your knee? Or do you use like a cadaver graft? Those are kind of the three big choices that are out there. You could even do like a hybrid, reuse a cadaver and their own tissue together. But that's the big choice. So, you know, initially, that obviously was a decision they had to make. You know, those are kind of all over the map. I would say 10 years ago, pretty much everybody at that level was doing patella grafts. Now that's kind of switched. A lot more people are using hamstring grafts. I'm not sure what the most recent breakdown is of patella versus hamstring. Probably still a little bit more on the patellar side. But again, it's moving towards the direction of hamstring and, again, using your own tissue. So I'm not certain what they use for him. So now you have a re-tear. Now you got to start talking about, you know, what's next? What tissue did you not use before? Would you elect to, you know, reuse a particular tendon, which means you would have to move to the other knee and borrow a tendon from that knee. If it was patellar tendon, sometimes they'll do that. Otherwise, you could use another component in the knee that's already been operated on. For example, if they took a patella, you would take a hamstring. That would be a reasonable option. So those are some of the things that they would have to decide. But obviously, the big conversation here with the patient after graft talk is, you know, what's recovery look like, and the fact that this is going to be, you know, a really rough road for him going forward. Obviously, you get to the level of the NFL and that window and those opportunities, they get very, very small and very tight, you know, especially in a situation of a revision ACL.
From a timeline here, Dr. Brandon, I think December of 16 is when the first tear happened, and then now you have a tear in the spring. It's one thing to have tears on the same knee, but from a timeline standpoint, is this really, really soon to have an injury like this happen?
So they said 16 was the reconstruction initially.
The information I have here says, you know, it was December 16 and his first ACL with the Jets, and then you have it in the spring this year where it happened.
Oh, I guess I was thinking it was further out than that. I was thinking it was a year and a half as opposed to only months.
That's about it. It's been about a year and a half. Yeah.
Okay, yep. So, you know, from that perspective, you know, it seems like they did a good job with the recovery period. That's something, you know, we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. That's one of those hot topics in orthopedic sports medicine right now is, you know, how long do we keep these athletes out before we let them return after an ACL? Historically, that could have been, you know, somewhere up to a year, year and a half initially when they were doing these, and that's really shortened up, you know, as of late. I'd say the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, it's been, you know, anywhere between 5 to 6 months is kind of the recovery, especially when you're talking these athletes like that that are just amazing genetically and heal really well and recover quickly. But then we started to see, as we pushed the envelope on that, athletes were probably not quite ready at that point. You know, some are. Physically, they are. Mentally, probably not. There's also a component of training called neuromuscular retraining, when you kind of have to retrain your brain to talk to your joints and talk to your body in terms of what you're doing, cutting. And it takes a while to get that feel back. So even though somebody may look amazing, you know, in physical therapy, they can pass all these quad tests and jump tests, you know, to put all that coordination back together, I think that takes a lot longer. So point of the story is, I think you're seeing athletes being held up a little bit longer. I think that's probably smart. And that could be 7 to 9 months. We're starting to see a big push in that direction, especially at the NFL level. And so it looks like they did a good job with that. So you know, was it too early to re-tear? Not necessarily. You know, always the hard part with these things is everybody's always trying to push the envelope. You know, I'm sure the doc was maybe trying to pull him back a little bit, but you know, maybe the athlete was trying to do too much. Maybe they, you know, kind of tweaked it during the rehab course. Maybe they stretched it out a little bit if they were doing too much or not following the protocol. All those kind of things can be a factor. And in the end, you got an athlete who tore his ACL who potentially maybe has already kind of a genetic issue of some kind of lax ligaments, making him more prone to have a tear. So then you use that tissue again, and then obviously you set yourself up perhaps even having another tear. And so you could kind of throw a lot of factors at it. It would be kind of difficult to pinpoint, you know, what it would be that would have caused a re-tear. But, you know, you read that story on him, and it sure sounds like they did a great job and took him through the right course of action for rehab.
Well, and more will come out with the Devin Smith story as far as how he comes back and what his plans are with the Jets. They are ranked the worst receiving corps in football by some fantasy experts. That's not a knock on Quincy and Nunwa or those guys. It's just the fact of life that you lose a guy like Smith. You don't know who your quarterback is, and you just don't have a ton of options to throw to. And Nunwa's been great, but he's about it. And now Devin Smith's trying to come back. So we've hit on the ACL re-tear repair today, our Doc Wednesday with Lincoln Orthopedic Center, Dr. Brandon Seifert. Dr. Brandon, we'll get caught up again. We'll talk some more injuries and athletes next week. Thanks for a few minutes today.
You bet, Chris. You guys take care.
There he is, Dr. Brandon Seifert. Caller 5, VIP tickets to the Salt Dogs, VIP for Saturday. VIP Salt Dog tickets for Saturday. Caller 5, 466-3776, 466-3776. We'll say goodbye to TJ next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
A chance at Ribfest tickets shortly. And a chance to say goodbye in your cars, on your phones, with TJ Henning out the door. At TJ_Henning. Show him some love. As appropriately picked, you are out of jail, my friend.
I am.
TJ Henning, producer, co-host extraordinaire. God love you, brother. Thank you for 2.5 years of awesomeness.
Yeah, no problem. It's just hit me. This is the first time that we're all in the same room.
Together,
because I've always been separated by a window.
Come hang out during some of the tape segments every now and then. But you've always been across on the ones and twos.
Final day. Here we are.
That's right.
I'm in the big room.
That's right. I can go down the hall. hey, man, congrats to you. And you've been tremendous at putting up with me, but just... You are what every broadcast student should aspire to be, and your attitude, your effort, your talents, unquestioned. Thank you for 2.5 years, bro.
No problem. Yeah, 2.5 years. I'm moving up to Omaha. I'm joining AM 590 there. Going to be taking my talents as a producer up there, as you could, LeBron would say. So,
well, Handley
and
kicked things off.
You're familiar with Handley, yes.
With the Hail Varsity 5-6 years ago, so... Nick's dear friend, love him to death.
Yeah,
great folks up there.
Yeah, so joining Nick Hanley and Joe Quinn up there, 2-6. We'll miss you guys for sure. This is a lot of fun. 2.5 years here. I've been got my star here, but I'm also excited to also not have a second or third job along with this as well.
You know, that's the moment in radio.
A lot of people don't realize
where you're like high five more. Sweet, I can focus on one thing because as you kind of grind in it, you do work to pay the bills, and you do that, and you keep doing that, too.
They gonna let you talk hoops? That's the real question.
Oh, for sure. Well, I'm worried. I'm probably going to have to talk some Creighton. And I don't watch those guys. Apparently, I will have to now. But my thing is, I'm going to be more into UNO basketball than Creighton basketball to get it back at them, I think. That's how.
Well, that is kind of a circle of friends and family with guys that we know in the industry we're close with that – you hear us here or you'll hear them there. It's a good group of folks, and TJ's been the best. So thank you so much.
No problem.
Appreciate
man.
You.
Yeah.
Plans tonight?
A family gathering, actually. My sister just got back in town from Notre Dame, so we're going up to Omaha to see the
All
family.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess we'll celebrate with that with some pizza and stuff. So
okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So you're going to make the official move up to Omaha then?
Going to be commuting for a while until my apartment lease is up. Decide if I want to do that or move up. But, you know, it's a 45-minute drive both ways, so I don't know. Eventually, I'm going to want to move up. But yeah. I love me some Lincoln, so it'll be tough to move.
Lincoln loves some TJ.
No. Well, I hope so. I hope I did all right here.
No, you were awesome. You were good. And as you have just gallantly, a minute left, shot clock is yours. You can dribble it out. You can take a three. You can dunk. You can do what you want here. It's all you.
Oh, man. I am not one for speeches. As I whip out a speech. No. I 2.5 years here. Been grinding with doing the sports thing, doing the high school games, Saturday morning show. So it's been a lot of fun. It was a great start for me, and I can be thankful forever for you and you, Jay.
It's nice. We had fun the days that Schmitty disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, talking North, Elkhorn football. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we had fun. So a lot of those handful of shows we did.
But just like we got to give away some Ribfest. This is what we're keep asking you.
One last task. One last task. Caller 5, a pair of Ribfest tickets. TJ will sign the back of them.
There you go.
Pair of Ribfest tickets, caller 5 right now, 466-377-6800, 825-5865, caller 5, Ribfest tickets, 466-377-6. TJ, thank you.
No problem.